Good morning.
Good morning.
What a great day. It's crisp in the air, and so it's like, wow, let's wake up, right? That's how I felt this morning. So I would like to introduce myself. I am so honored and privileged to say that I am the pastor here at University Church. I am Alicia Wood. Today we have some others that will be a part of worship, which we have Lee Potter here, who will be our liturgist. And then we also have over here Dean Moyer, who will be our preacher. I'm really excited about that, and I'll tell you more later why he's here to preach. But I got a little nervous before worship. I have never been the announcement person. I realized I didn't know the routine, even though I listen to it every week. So welcome. We're so glad you're here. Whatever brings you here today, custom, crisis, curiosity, you are welcome here. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. So if you're new here and you would like to know more about our church, there is a red, pink, peach, I don't know what color this is, folder. There's one in the back on a table behind the pews, or there's also one out as you walk out this door, it'll be on your left, right in front of the beautiful window display. And there's more information in there about our church, what we believe, activities that go on, and how you can get involved. All right, you will find one of these. Who has one? Who has one of these? Wave it if you got it. All right. So this is here for a lot of reasons. One is, if you want a prayer celebration or a prayer request because there's something that you're struggling with, just put it on here and we'll read it as a part of our community and as a part of our worship. And we also want to know if you're here today. So if you're here today, which I saw a lot of people were here and they raised their green slip, if you're here today, please fill this out and let us know that you're here. We don't do this to stalk you or track you down. We just are trying to pay attention to who's here and how we can serve our community that attends worship. All right, what else is on here? Okay, we have restrooms. You can find them either way, out this door or out that door, and you just kind of want, it's easiest this way. Go out this door and keep going. The ladies' room will be on the left, and the men's room you have to take two rights to get into. Two rights and a left, excuse me. All right, and after worship, we will have refreshments. We'll have some coffee and some ice water and some really great conversation back here. Again, you can go through either of these doors, and it's called the gathering room. It's directly behind the sanctuary. All right, what else is going on? Oh, we have a safe sanctuary policy, which means we want to keep everyone safe in church. And so we ask if your child needs to use the restroom or just needs to stretch his or her legs, that you accompany them. We always want an adult with a child, whether they're just walking out the door here or anywhere. We just want everyone to be safe. So please stay with a child if you're an adult. Okay, your child if you're an adult. All right, it says only three things, but I might have to mention more than three things. This is going on at Brown Memorial. If you are wondering how you're going to pay your National Grid bill this month or next month or over the winter, there's an informational meeting at Brown Memorial on Davis Street in Syracuse tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a really great workshop to learn more about how to pay your National Grid bill or how you can get help paying your National Grid bill. All right. So we have lots going on today after worship, today and next Sunday, so hold on to your hats here. First, we have soup and sermon, where you can go and have a bowl of soup and talk about the sermon and how it maybe touched your heart today. Number two, we are assembling 21 flood buckets. And we're doing that right below the sanctuary. So if you want to help us, it's all set up. Just like when we do our Thanksgiving bags, you grab a bucket and then you put in each item into the bucket. And when you get to the end of the line, you fill the bucket. So we're filling 21 of these. The reason we're filling 21 buckets today is because we received already donations for 21 flood buckets. And, of course, we have our three that are already made right up here on the whatever it's called. I want to say panel, but that's not the right word. Platform. There we go. So, of course, if you'd like to donate for the flood buckets, please do. We are really close now. I'm trying not to be competitive, okay, guys, but I am a little competitive. And so the pastors put out a challenge, but then our lead pastor, B.J. Norick, said whoever, whatever church has the most flood buckets will get a prize from him. And I kind of would like us to get that prize. So Irwin First, Irwin First is the only one close to our number, and I think they have about 30, okay? Right now we have 24. All right, I'm just saying. So, and you know what is really awesome and sweet is Brown Memorial already has put together 4 flood buckets, which I just think is awesome, and all the other churches in the city have done their part, believe me. So I just know our competitor is Irwin First, that's why I'm bringing it up. Okay, and the whole reason we're doing flood buckets is because there have been so many floods in the United States, and these flood buckets are actually to replenish all the buckets that have been used this season. So they're almost out, and so pastors came up with this challenge. It was because we really want to make an effort to do good and to get the flood buckets replenished. Okay, the third thing that's happening after church is that Nelson, raise your hand, Nelson, will be taking photos of any person or family that would like to have their photo in the directory so we know who you are later. You know how sometimes you go to church and you go home and you're talking to someone and said, oh, this person talked to me today, and what's their name? Who are you talking about? I don't know. I don't remember. And so you can look in the directory and you can see a picture and go, oh, yeah, that's Nelson. So we're looking for anyone who doesn't have their picture yet in the directory and would like it for you to take your picture. We're going to do it in the gathering room, where there's already coffee and water and great conversation. So that's happening. Next week, I'm almost done, I promise. Next week is World Communion Sunday. Yay! Very exciting. Christians all over the world celebrate communion. And what we're asking everyone here to do is to dress in a culture from around the world. So you can dress however you want next week. And if you have something in your closet that represents a culture from around the world, please put it on next week, all right? I can't wait to see what happens. Dean, what are you going to wear? He was looking at me like he had a great idea. Okay. And finally, next week after worship, we have a church fair, which is kind of like a science fair. Every group in the community, in the church, is going to have a table set up so that you know what they do, and if you want to join in, you can sign up and volunteer to join that group. So there's all different groups, from ways that we get to know each other within this community, and there's ways in which we reach out to Syracuse. So know that that's happening next week right after worship. Okay. Lots of great things going on. There's way more in your bulletin. Please feel free to check it out. Let us now continue in worship.
Let us stand and sing our first hymn, The Summons. standing for the call to worship. God is speaking. Can we hear it? Do we perceive it? God is speaking to us and through us. Are we even listening? God is calling us to go out. Are we willing to be sent? Let us, as forgiven and beloved people of God, offer one another a sign of God's peace.
Will the children please come forward? How are all of you today?
Good.
All right. So I forgot to do the introduction to the service, so I'm going to do it right now so you know what's going on. Let's go back. This week I've been working on writing papers towards my ordination. And believe it or not, I have to write 16 papers, 1-6. And so I asked if someone would help me out this week, so that I could work on my papers and this other person could do the sermon today. And so that other person is right here, Dean Moyer. He's a retired Methodist pastor, and so he's been doing this a while. And the reason I asked him is because in our lives we have lots of mentors. So I have a lot of mentors here in this congregation and around the country, even outside the country. I have mentors, people who teach me things and I learn from, and we have nice conversations. And so Dean is one of the ones in this congregation who is a mentor to me, and we talk about my sermon a lot. He really likes to talk about my sermon. So I said, hey, Dean, would you like to do the sermon this week? And he said, yes, I would. But then he said, I'd also like to talk to the children. So here he is.
Now I'm waiting there. You see that picture there? Oh, you can look back here.
You see that picture?
You see? I found that at home. It's kind of an old picture. What are you? They all agree that it's an old picture. What do you think that little kid there might be thinking about now? How does he look up there? Does he look happy or not? Does he look as if he belongs there, or as if maybe he? Yes. Say, you think he looks sad? Do you think there's any reason why he might feel sad? Because he doesn't have a friend. Okay, if you saw someone who looked sad, as if they didn't have a friend, what could you do? What could you do? You could be his friend, yes. There's lots of kids, you know, that might feel strange in your school. And they might look as if they feel out of place. They might look as if they need a friend. Some of them might be from refugee families. But some just may be kids that don't have many friends. You can be a friend. You know, I guess I'll ask this question now. Do any of you think you know who that little kid is? Any of
you got a guess?
Would you like to guess? Oh, you're guessing. Who are you guessing? Does it look like me? Does it look like me at all? Well, I will confess it is me. And you know, I'm sure I was feeling a little sad. You know, I had spent my first 6 years living out in the country, and I had two playmates then. Basically, my little sister, well, she was only about a year younger than me, and then at the farm next door to where we lived, less than a block away, was a little girl a little bit older than me. And then, all of a sudden, we moved to town. And here I was, ready to start first grade, and I'm in the midst of all these kids. And I went to a school where first and second grade were in the same room and had the same teacher. And there I was, not hardly knowing anybody at all. And you're right, I probably did feel a little bit sad. Do you think I got over it? What do you think helped me get over it? Yes. Yeah, I began to have friends. I began to know other kids. I began to have fun playing with them. And everything began to change. Well, here I am. Glad to be with you. Glad to be sharing with you my first grade picture. How about that? But that's enough because I got to save time for the sermon,
yes,
right? But it's been good to share.
How about we pray together?
That's right, and that's my task, isn't it?
If you would like.
Let us all pray. Well, we sometimes join hands.
Can we hold
yeah, we can sort of to keep this mic here. But let us pray. Oh God, we are grateful for friends. We are grateful for those who help us feel that we belong. We are grateful for those who are willing to step in and help us find our place among all the other kids and youth and adults. And especially help us to find our place in your church and in the life of faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.
Arise, O Lord, shine, O Lord, save in light, and prosper in His sight, spread Thy glory.
Amen. So it comes to the time where we enter into prayer. If you would like your prayer to be a part of our worship today, please just hold up your green slip and our ushers will come down the center aisles here to collect them.
Let us unite our hearts as we join in silent prayer, followed by a spoken prayer and then the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. God of mercy, today we have lifted up the names of many who need your presence. Please minister to them in the hospital, in school, at home, in the workplace, and in the house of the Lord. As we remember others, we also pray that we can acknowledge our own sin and neediness and ask for your forgiveness and presence with us. Help us to be thankful for our own lives, which have been so abundantly blessed. May we strive to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. May God use us to show the way in which people live peacefully with one another, celebrating the value of each life. And now, Lord, we would pray the prayer offered by our bishop as he remembers the community of Charlotte in particular. Dear God, let the pain that all people are feeling turn toward hope. Let the families of those directly involved find comfort and peace. Let the anger turn to dialogue and the violence change into understanding and constructive solutions. Let us find wisdom and learn how to work on the deep-rooted issues that bring about such pain in ways that will draw us and others more deeply into your amazing love and into the fullness of life with you. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus and with his prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand if you are able and join in singing, "The Spirit Sends Us Forth."
Spirit sends us forth to serve as food.
We go to be the hands of Christ, to scatter joy like seed, and all our days to cherish life, to do the loving deed. Then let us go to serve in peace the gospel to
seated. Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 122, verse 1 and 6 through 9, from the New Living Translation. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you. O Jerusalem. Our second scripture reading is from the New Living Translation. I'll be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go, and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, "The kingdom of God is near you now." But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "We wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near." This is the word of God for the people of God.
First, I'll say I'm glad you didn't take that hymn we just sang as the closing hymn and got up and left. I'm glad you stayed. It maybe came a little too soon. How many of you remember these two words? Phoenix affirmations. I suppose I shouldn't ask, is anybody trying to forget those two words? Phoenix affirmations. You know, as I think back about those Phoenix affirmations, I am remembering what was a part of the first several Sundays when someone from the congregation was asked to share their story as it related to that particular affirmation. And as I listened to those affirmations, I began to wonder, what would my story be if I had been asked to share for one of them? I wasn't asked, but maybe this is the asking now. And I decided that if I were asked to share that story, it would not be just my story, but it would be our story. It would be the story of two people, the story of my wife, Carol, and me, and our life together. It's a story that begins back in Easter 1969. I was pastor of the Big Flat... Do I need to change those? Ted isn't... Okay. There's the picture. There showed up at the Big Flats Church where I was pastor, a young woman with three kids. We didn't know each other. We didn't know that that meeting was going to lead to anything in the future, except the fact that she kept coming back to church. But as a couple years passed, I was transferred to Bath. But we continued to sometimes see each other and run into each other. And during a period of around 2 years, something developed. And there took place in the United Methodist Church in Ferguson, Missouri, a wedding. A wedding on March 22nd, 1971. Now, I know if I were to ask some of you, you would say we were rebounding, we were marrying too soon. But there it was, Carol and I becoming husband and wife and becoming what was back then a typical clergy couple. Now, a clergy couple in those days, you will probably all remember, was the male pastor who was sent to the church by the bishop and the superintendent. And with him came his spouse, his wife. And she became, in some ways, sometimes, the unpaid assistant, the one who geared in some way that she could to the life and ministry of that particular church. But then change was coming. Now, Carol began to find her place, and it was Christian education, first in the local church, then in the district, and finally moving on to the jurisdiction, and that significant event which took place at Watson Homestead every year. And as she was moving through the life of the church in this way, she also began to sense a call to ministry. And she continued with her education until finally she was ordained also as an associate member of annual conference. And we became one of those new kind of clergy couples. One of those where both husband and wife are Methodist pastors who are sent by the bishop and hopefully by the Holy Spirit to serve churches, not together as a general rule, but separate churches. But at times we were able to get together in the life of the churches we were serving. And one of those, does anybody recognize what that picture is from? Remember those days when they made church directories for us? Olin Mills. And you know, the church struggled and worked hard and recruited enough people. And there I am, Carol and me, at one of the churches that we were serving. We were sent to serve churches. And sometimes we got together at our various churches and were able to share together. Now, what does all this have to do with our gospel lesson for today? We remember that it talks of Jesus preaching and teaching. And I'm thinking not just of Luke's gospel, but also Matthew and Mark, who tell in somewhat different words the same story. But as Jesus was teaching, as he was healing, as he was going about in those early days of his ministry, there were those who began to follow him. First came those 12 disciples or apostles, and Matthew names them, and it's interesting, I find that he names them in groups of two, six groups of two, who were somehow related before they came to him, and in some cases, one brought the other to share in the message that this new teacher was proclaiming. A new way of life, a new way to relate to God, a new way to know God. And I'm sure if I could put myself in the place of those 72 who became the larger number, one would begin to wonder, what will this teacher expect of me? What will I need to be doing? Surely I'm not going to simply come and listen to him preach time after time whenever he's around. And those thoughts were soon fulfilled. But it came as a great relief because as he began to send them out, he sent them out two by two, or as Luke says, in pairs. They went out together. They did not go on alone. They did not go on to share the good news about Jesus, to tell people that he was coming out into their village, into their community, to speak of their relationship with God and how they might grow in that relationship. They would be able to travel together, to encourage each other, to share with each other, to grow together as a couple. I'm thinking of the fact that many of us have had those same kind of experiences as we've, in a way, sensed being sent out two by two. And I think of various couples in the life of this church. And you're laughing. You're laughing already. And Jeannie and Ted are laughing the most. Because there they are. Often functioning as a couple sent by Christ in ministry, but also each of them individually sharing in other relationships and in other ministries and in other ways. But it isn't always married couples. I'm speaking of all kinds of couple relationships. Who doesn't recognize Cindy and Jane, good friends who became greater friends as they entered into a ministry together of co-chairing the Soup and Sermon group that some of you are a part of, and more of you could share in if you would like to do so. And then next Sunday is the church fair, right? And if you come to that church fair, you might find yourself standing before some table, some group, and the ministry they are emphasizing. And something may say, maybe I could be a part of that, but you're hesitant. And then you see the person standing next to you, and you begin to talk together, and you say, hey, we could share together in this particular ministry, in this particular outreach method that's available for us in the life of this church. We find ways to relate to each other. I couldn't help, as I thought about this, to think about those two Roman Catholic nuns who all their lives were in medical mission together in one of the southern states, who had become great friends and who had worked together, and then they were brutally murdered. And some of you will tell me, well, what about those Mormons who go out two by two? And then I continued thinking about those who had been sent out, those who had been sent out two by two. And I wondered, did that relationship, which for whatever the reason was, Jesus decided to send these two out. Some may have been a husband and wife, two brothers, two sisters, two friends. maybe some that didn't always know each other well, but yet Jesus sent them out together. And I wondered, what about that relationship that was established as they went out in this two-by-two way? Did it continue? And I thought of the fact that there was a time when Jesus needed a donkey, and he sent two out to get the donkey that now is a part of our Palm Sunday celebrations. And then Jesus was to have that last meal with his disciples. And as he thought about that meal, he knew they needed a room. So again, he sent out two to find and reserve the room in which they might meet for their last meal with Jesus. And then as I thought about it, I moved on finally to those two who were traveling on the road to Emmaus. We know that one of them was named Cephas, but that's about all we know about that pair. Were they a husband and wife? Were they brothers? Were they just friends? We don't know, but we know that they were grieving the loss of Jesus. Perhaps they had witnessed the crucifixion. They had seen him die, and now it was just a day or so later, and they were mourning together. They were discussing what had happened, and they find a stranger joining them, and he begins to talk with them about it, and finally they come to what perhaps was their home, and they stop, and then they are about to have some bread together, and as the stranger breaks bread, they recognize that it's a risen Christ, and then he is gone from their midst. Sometimes we find new life in our relationships that we have with others. We discover new hope. Sometimes we even discover anew who Christ is for us and what Christ means to us. We too can find new life as we relate to each other. Now, sometimes that relationship changes. It certainly did for Carol and me as she moved on in the development of dementia. As she became, well, I discovered how difficult it is to take a selfie of two people. It's not an easy thing, and perhaps that was symbolic of the fact that it becomes a whole new and different and sometimes difficult thing to relate to that person who's been so much a part of your life. And you relate often on the basis of past experiences, of sharing what was a part of your life together. Now, again, I want to be sure to suggest that I am not thinking simply of married couples, but good friends also become so close that when one's health fails, maybe not dementia, maybe some other way, and they become the supporter, the one who helps that one whose life and emotion and health is failing. How does the relationship continue? Sometimes it does continue, but it continues as you relive and perhaps discover new meaning in what was your past together. As you look at pictures and as you think together of when you first met and perhaps when you married, I'm suggesting that maybe you might spend a few moments reflecting on how you became a part of this church. One of the last decisions that Carol and I made together was to be a part of University Church. Some of you may have made that decision as a husband and wife. Some of you may have grown up in this church in the past, both of your families being a part of it, and you met the person who became your spouse here in this church. Or some of you may have been a part of a church that's closed. Two close friends, a mother and daughter, two brothers, two sisters. Or perhaps you're a gay couple committed to each other and you heard that here was a church that would be open to you and would accept you, and you could come as a couple and you could grow together. And so we might reflect on how we became a part of this church. Reflect on the relationships that have enriched our lives together, that have played a part in who and what we are now, and indeed sometimes have helped us to rediscover who Christ is to us. And with gratitude, we're grateful for all of those experiences, some brief, some continuing, some enriching our lives as long as we live. May God bless each of us as we continue to relate to all the congregation and to those specific persons who seem to be ones that draw something out about us, who help us to be more what we are called to be, and give us a sense of being sent out two by two by Christ.
He just asked me, how long was that? And I just said, amen. It was so good. Thank you so much for sharing today. As a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes and offering.
In our unison prayer of dedication, as we bring our offerings, we pray, O God, that you will send laborers among all your children. to preach good news, to bring healing, to feed the hungry. We would support them with our gifts. And if there are tasks for us to do, help us to respond with our lives, not our leftovers. Amen. Let us join in singing our closing hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing.
Go out into this world, being called, looking for your two by two, and go now in peace.